You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Welcome to Deep Dive Broadway. I'm Dori Berenstein, and today we celebrate the Actors Fund. Our guest is Joe Benincasa, president of the Actors Fund since 1989. The work the Actors Fund has done on behalf of the Broadway community and way beyond is truly extraordinary. In the last 10 weeks alone, the Actors Fund has distributed a record-breaking $10.5 million to provide emergency financial assistance for performing artists and entertainment workers in need due to the COVID-19 pandemic. I've admired Joe Benincasa for many, many years. It's an honor to speak with him today. Let's dive in. I am so excited to be able to talk with you, Joe. I couldn't admire what you do and the Actors Fund does for so many people for years and years and years and years. And so this is an exciting moment for me to be able to hear more about what the Actors Fund is doing right now and also go back in time and just ground this in a little bit of history about where this all started for you as well as for the Actors Fund. But let's just start with you, because I know that you joined the Actors Fund in 1989. Could you tell me a little bit about your journey that brought you to the Actors Fund?
Oh, sure. Well, in the 80s, it's a pretty simple career. In the 80s, I managed the New York Blood Center, public affairs and government relations, corporate activities, the largest blood center in the world. And it's there that, you know, I worked with the team that developed the hepatitis B vaccine, the Western blot test, we were on the front line of testing for HIV and AIDS. So with Larry Kramer's passing, I'm thinking about the times I spent with Larry back in the 80s. And when we did our normal heart benefit for the Actors Fund a few years ago, we got together afterwards, Larry and I, for lunch. And he said that the Actors Fund was inspired in the work we had done to help people in the entertainment community dealing with AIDS. And I said we were inspired because of his ACT UP activities and all of the advocacy that he had done. So that was the 80s. Before that, I was the head of public relations for the United Ways of the Greater New York area and for United Way of South Florida, in part because I speak Spanish and English. And before that, I worked for a congressman in Washington, D.C., a progressive, 100% ADA-rated congressman, and who I really admire, who's still around, John Culver from Iowa. So that was a great experience. After college, after my undergraduate studies at St. Joe's, you know, I got a master's at Rutgers University, did my MBA work at Fordham University, where I'm teaching right now, and I'm enjoying that mostly on Saturdays for a cross between social work, MSW students and business students, okay, which is interesting. Social workers who want to be running nonprofits and business leaders, you know, and business students who want to be involved in nonprofit work. So they're very interesting students, and they kind of inspire me every time I'm with them. So that's my career, you know, in a nutshell. Happily married, raised three children. Have two cats and a dog.
Well, first of all, I hope you are overrun with people who want to attend your class, because what a wonderful class to be teaching.
I think the class is very popular.
And did you grow up with influences that led you to a life of advocacy? How did this all unfold for you?
I grew up in an Italian household. My mother migrated from Sicily. My father was first generation here. My father was orphaned in this country, and he ended up working in FDR's Civilian Conservation Corps, you know, as a teenager for, you know, 3 years, which was a wonderful program to lift men and women out of the Depression, help lift them out of the Depression. My father was a union worker, an organizer. In fact, if you go to Rutgers University, there's a wing of the Labor Institute named for my father. He was the president of AFSCME, which is the Federation of Municipal and State Employees, organized all the Rutgers people. Was great friends with Ed Blaustein, who was then president of Rutgers, who was a very progressive fellow himself. And so I grew up in a household where my father, we talked union politics day in and day out, and he was on the front line of organizing. And so that, my Jesuit education, my upbringing in the Catholic Church with a real social conscience kind of guided me into the work I'm doing now.
And how did you find your way specifically to the Actors Fund?
Well, in the 70s, when I was managing public relations for the United Ways, and in the 80s, when I was producing all the films and PSAs, you know, I got to know the community very well in the 70s and 80s. So we did lots of films, lots of public service announcements. So I got to know Colleen Dewhurst and Helen Hayes and the prominent stars of the day, all of whom I was recruiting to speak on behalf of the Red Cross, the Blood Center, the United Way. And along the way, we made some very good films, a few which won awards in the appropriate field. And so when the Actors Fund needed some help in reexamining itself, and I was ready to move on from the New York Blood Center. A little background on the Blood Center was I was hired back in 1980. One half of the blood supply in the greater New York area was imported every day from Europe. 260 hospitals relied on blood from Europe. A big part of my job was to help increase blood collection in the areas, enhance all of our research activities, and to make us a domestic blood provider. So, and we accomplished that. By 1988, you know, I'm proud to say that blood collections, a great deal of responsibility was taken on by corporations. They increased their activities. And so that was great. At the same time, I have to say that Larry Rockefeller, who recruited me to the New York Blood Center, was one of the founders of the New York Blood Center, allowed me to have my own little production company on the side. So I was producing industrial films for manufacturers Hanover, ADT Security Systems, doing a lot of work on McGruff, the crime dog campaign with Saatchi & Saatchi. And I did all that work commuting in and out of the city. I had someone else running all the traps day to day, but the creative work was mine. So I enjoyed all of that, and it helped me send my kids to college.
That's tremendous, and it certainly prepared you, and everything you've done prepared you to do all the work that you've been doing for the Actors Fund. I'm so eager to talk about what's happening now and all the extraordinary work that you have been doing and the team has been doing on behalf of COVID-19. Let's go back in time for a minute. I'd really love to talk a little bit about how the Actors Fund came to be, because I think it's such an interesting story with after Lincoln was killed, obviously things became worse for the acting community, and there were a lot of prejudices and hatred against actors, and they were the lowest class. And so out of this, how did the Actors Fund start?
The Actors Fund started some forward-thinking leaders in the community, not only the acting community and the production community, but people concerned about people involved in creative activity. They couldn't bury their friends in consecrated ground, so they actually bought cemetery plots up in Westchester and in Brooklyn so that actors could not be buried in consecrated ground. So they were buried. We still own those plots, and we still, at the request of people, inter people into Actors Fund cemeteries. So that gave way to also when people were on the road, you know, remember New York City was the center of everything back in 1882 when the Actors Fund was founded. When a show would go out on tour to the on the road, sometimes they'd run out of money or they'd be run out of town. So they got in the habit of wiring money, you know, to bring people back to New York City. And this is before Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare. This is before there was progressive help for people who were destitute. Very often, if a mother or father passed away and children were left behind, their orphans were cared for by the Actors Fund. So it was a real effort to take care of their own and the offspring of their own. It's a very inspiring story. And it's no wonder that it attracted the moral support of people like you know, Mark Twain, William Howard Taft, the President of the United States, kicked off one of our fundraisers. So there was a recognition, you know, back in the late, you know, 1800s, that, gee, it was terrible what was happening to people involved in theater, and they had to do something about it, and they banded together. So it's quite a story. Now, the organization has evolved from one which provided direct financial assistance. It evolved into providing residential care for people who needed a place to live in their older years. Then we've built on the strength of the organization as a moral force to provide services to people throughout the performing arts and entertainment community from coast to coast. And so we're just continuing that, you know, that that direction.
And it was back in 1902 that you launched the first, not you, but that the first Actors Home was launched, I believe.
It was in Staten Island. And it was, you know, a ramshackle kind of a boarding house, but it served a great purpose. And it was kindly administered and wonderfully administered. And then we moved into, you know, later on in the 1980s, we moved into skilled nursing care. We moved the home back in the 50s from Staten Island to Englewood, New Jersey, to the estate of Hetty Green, who was a pioneering woman in finance. Her estate was acquired by the Actors Fund Board at that time and converted into a residential facility. But a residential facility, which was more like a boarding house, which was still good, but it didn't necessarily address the needs of older people, which is why in the 1980s and why we've continued to expand our senior residence in Englewood, New Jersey, and build affordable housing in New York and in California.
And I think it's important to talk for a moment about the fact that it's not just actors that the Actors Fund is supporting. Can you talk a little bit about all the reach that you have and the support you're giving?
Yeah, the term actor back in 1882, when an actor of the New York State Legislature created the Actors Fund, the term actor applied to everyone in show business, you know, the ushers, the people carrying the lamps, you know, the people, you know, managing the horse-drawn carts, and everybody, including those on stage. So it was on stage, back of house, front of house, people involved in every aspect of the theater business. So we've preserved that tradition. So we help everyone in the entertainment community. On our board of our directors, our board of trustees, we have the presidents of the major unions and guilds on that board, representing the key stakeholders, you know, and the people we serve. And then we have plenty of talent on the board and plenty of people of goodwill who appreciate what artists go through and the kind of life they have and want to make sure they're part of helping them, you know, survive.
And all the different organizations that have come up through the years, the Actors Fund was there at the beginning of Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS and the Phyllis Newman Women's Health Initiative and all that. Can you talk about some of the different programs that the Actors Fund has launched?
You know, Doria, we have 25 discrete programs, each with its own identity and, you know, and people supporting it. Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, since 1989, has been our primary supporter. We have about a $50 million operating budget this year. $6 million of that comes from Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS. And that's really significant. But they've been our partner along the way and our leading contributor since 1989. I was very happy to be one of the founders of Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS. I sit on the executive committee. Tom Viola, their fantastic executive director, you know, is the chair of our Human Services Committee. Bob Wankel, the chairman or the president of the Schubert Organization, is also the chairman of our Housing Development Corporation, which helps us build, you know, affordable housing around the country. So, you know, it's pretty terrific. We are very proud of how we collaborate with other organizations as well. Right now, for instance, for COVID-19, we've received more than $30 million in support from organizations like Broadway Cares, Equity Fights Age, which contributed $5 million to that $30 million. And the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts and Sciences, the Oscars, and, you know, based in California. We also manage 11 different funds. We're very proud of the fact that SAG-AFTRA, which employs all the actors on stage and screen, they have entrusted us with the provision of direct financial assistance. They basically have asked us to administer their funds. And that's together with AGMA, the musical artists, with other unions and guilds as well, including the IATSC, the stagehands. So our staff, they're working around the clock because we've been spending $250,000 a day in providing direct financial assistance to people affected by COVID-19. And the fact that we have been entrusted by all these 11 organizations to administer funds that they provide to us says a lot about the trust they have in the organization and the confidence that they have that we will do it right.
Well, it's extraordinary how much you have been doing for people during this very, very difficult time. It's also phenomenal to see the outpouring of love and support from the community, the Broadway community, and way beyond. They've all come to the Actors Fund to figure out how they can help raise money. And it's just a stunning number of events and Seth Rudetsky's incredible series that he does with James. So much work is happening in support of the Actors Fund to raise money to help others.
We are, as you know, our chairman has been our primary spokesperson through all of this, and that's Brian Stokes Mitchell, who's a remarkable talent, Tony Award winner, but he's been our chairman of our board for 16 years now. And a lot of it emanates from kind of the moral leadership he's provided and lends. It also extends to people like our vice chair, Annette Benning. Annette likes to say, you know, that the Actors Fund walks the walk. And we're a humble organization, but people know the quality of the work we do. We don't beat our chest. We don't talk loudly about our achievements. We are proud about the work that we do and how we help people. And it's very inspiring that people like Rosie O'Donnell, that Seth Rudetsky and James Wesley recognize that, and they're able to attract people to their shows. Rosie did that 3.5-hour telethon, which raised that first Sunday as we began this pandemic, raising $600,000, you know, and inviting the Estefans, all these people who know the organization, trust the organization to contribute and support it. Seth and James were right in there, and the talent they've attracted to be on their shows twice a day to talk about the Actors Fund and to they've raised an enormous amount of money. And then there are people like Bob Greenblatt, who's been a great supporter of the Actors Fund for many years. He and Neil Marin in 2015, when they entrusted us with Bombshell, the show that was the show within the show for the TV show Smash. Well, that was a lot of shows, Dory. Okay. They turned to us and they said, hey, why don't we take that archival tape we did? We got permission from the unions and let's put it up on, you know, for a platform for all the people who could not see the show in person. And as you remember, we sold out in less than a day those tickets. We felt quite bad that we couldn't extend it beyond that. So almost 3 million people watched it on various platforms, primarily the people.com platform. And gee, well, now what a surprise. The next day they announced that that show was going to Broadway. So we're happy to have played a role in grabbing the attention of the theater owners and producers and their interest in Bombshell. We're looking forward to when it does hit Broadway, when Broadway reopens. So the other events are, there's just so many wonderful events. And so many videos that have been made from the cast of Beautiful, with James Howland putting together the cast members singing You've Got a Friend, with a cameo at the very end of Carole King, followed by Brian Stokes Mitchell. You know, that aired, that premiered on CBS News, you know, Channel 2 in New York, and one morning. Next is You Can't Stop the Beat. you know, from Hairspray, how that cast put it together. That's remarkable. And it's all building, it's reminding people in the entertainment community that they do have a friend, that you can't stop the entertainment community. And there's a place to turn to if they need help. And that's incredibly important, perhaps even more important than the money that it generates, because these are not pay-per-view events. These are events that are enriching the lives of the viewers with a message about the Actors Fund. When Renee Zellweger, you know, opened Bombshell with a beautiful message about the work of the Actors Fund, well, that resonated with people, and it was really quite wonderful.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
We're going to make sure on the page where this podcast resides that all the links to the programs that you're talking about exist so that people can easily watch them, because they're still, you know, most of them are still available to watch right now. All the opportunities to donate now. Can you talk for a minute about what everybody who's listening to this podcast can do in support of the Actors Fund?
Well, number one, people, you know, this is a marathon, this pandemic, you know, that we're in. We're also in a marathon regarding social justice. And we are profoundly affected, all of us, you know, by the murder of George Floyd and others. And our organization, and it's in 1882, was founded about equality and justice for people who were not getting a fair shake. The murder of George Floyd has galvanized our attention, you know, on injustice. So we encourage everyone today to support theactorsfund.org, knowing that that's actorsfund.org, knowing that your donation will help us help people in the entertainment and performing arts community who are struggling. And they'll be struggling for a long time. Broadway won't open until next year. We don't think it will open until next year. And people will be catching up financially. We also encourage people to support organizations like the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, other organizations which are doing good work and working toward greater social justice in our society. We think that's important to say. We all participated in Blackout Tuesday. The Actors Fund continues to post messages about what people can do. We have an internal Facebook page for the Actors Fund alumni and current employees. And we are trading information about what we're doing beyond our work at the Actors Fund to advance social justice in our society. And that's very important. And I could not say something about that today.
Essential. And this is not something that is about today or this week or this month. This is forever. Black lives always matter. And so this is essential information and essential to support this on an ongoing basis. And we'll make sure that this podcast also provides all those links and the opportunity to contribute to those organizations as well. What's your hope going forward beyond this difficult time in so many ways for the Actors Fund?
You know, with everything that's going on now, we just completed a $10 million renovation of our residence in West Hollywood. We are fortunate to have got the construction done within all the guidelines set forth in Los Angeles County. But we're also close to, we're going to be breaking ground in October for a new affordable housing residence for artists in downtown Hollywood. We've secured $110 million toward a $125 million project. And I have no doubt that we're going to complete that fundraising. It's going to have 152 affordable units. It's going to have a beautiful theater already underwritten there. It's going to, we're calling it the Arts Collective, a Hollywood Arts Collective. And it's going to bring in other arts organizations and our own new offices in Los Angeles there. We're going to be building more affordable housing because we know there's going to be a great need as people in our community recover from the depression, you know, not being able to earn a living. So they're going to need more affordable housing. We have a number of projects, which we are working in New York, Brooklyn, the Bronx, and Queens, and in New Jersey as well. Our nursing home, which we're so proud of, last year we finished a $34 million expansion and renovation. We added memory care and short-term rehab. We're going to be spending another $1 million just making it pandemic-proof or as pandemic-proof as possible down the road. So our administrator there has already put together a good plan moving forward to make the building the building. So there are four, you know, residences within this complex more secure so that the most frail among us will be more safe and more secure. We're very proud of the fact that we locked down our facility in New Jersey a week before the governor ordered it. And we are very careful, been COVID-free for 6 weeks now. And we are moving very cautiously toward opening things up again. So the future, we're very concerned about health insurance for people in the entertainment community. We're working with the unions and guilds and the theater owners and producers to make sure that there's ample COBRA subsidy funding, you know, for people who lose their health insurance. Many actors, musicians, stagehands will be losing their health insurance in the next few months and will need COBRA subsidies to keep that insurance plan going, or will need us to act. And we are navigators under the Affordable Care Act to help them secure health insurance in the marketplace, you know, affordable, decent health insurance. So we're going to be playing an important role, and we are playing an important role right now. Healthcare center in Times Square has been operating, and it's going to continue to operate and reaching out to the community to make sure people are safe and secure and know they can turn to the Actors Fund. And we do that. That operation is in touch, is also involved. Well, our partner is Mount Sinai, and we're very proud of the partnership with Mount Sinai. We're looking through our career center to help people in our community understand what the COVID economy is going to be like. We're working hard to help people who are working in the entertainment industry, whose first love, their first vocation is show business. We want to make sure that they understand what other things they might be able to do while they're not, where they're not able to pursue their careers on stage, backstage, front of house. So our Career Center is focused on helping people embrace new opportunities in the short term and maybe in the long term. That also affects our Career Transition for Dancers program. You know, dancers have rather short careers. We have a great program which B.B. Newirth leads, and that is helping dancers imagine early in their careers what they might be doing, you know, at, toward the end of their careers. And that's a very important program, and that activity extends to everything that we're doing. Women's health, you know, Phyllis Newman created the Women's Health Initiative for us. We sustain that. We know that our outreach to women in show business is going to be even more pronounced now, the need that they have. And our healthcare services are playing an important role in making sure that women, as well as men, know that they can turn to us for help. A lot of that help these days is telehealth. I have an appointment tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. with my telehealth doctor at the Friedman Healthcare Center, which is what our Actors Fund Healthcare Center is called. So we are working forward. I have to say that the community we serve is so inspiring to me. And it's inspiring to the entire staff. Brian Stokes Mitchell and Bebe Neuwirth and Annette Benning all joined a meeting that we have with all staff. And it was a surprise guest, you know, and they came in just to say thank you. People like you and me, Dory, and I want to thank you for what you're doing to help the Actors Fund, your cards, everything that, that you have done and the moral leadership that you've provided to the Actors Fund and the financial support you're providing to the Actors Fund is very important, very significant, and thank you. But to have our online, our frontline workers, our social workers who are dealing with really tough issues for individuals who are processing direct financial assistance, who are running their groups, you know, virtually now, who've had to learn how to do things differently in terms of gathering people, but have not let up in doing that. So to have them have interaction with celebrities who are committed to the organization is very inspiring. And the fact that we have their support, you know, is just terrific. You know, I don't want to single out any single, you know, trustee, although I've just singled out three. Two are vice chairs and one of the chairman. So I think that's okay. But it goes across the board. Everyone on our board, and we have 36 trustees, each and every one of them has a real dedication to the Actors Fund and to helping the people they represent, their colleagues. It's very inspirational.
Where can everyone who's listening right now go to contribute?
Actorsfund.org. There's a donate page, donate button on the first page. It will guide you through. You can make gifts in honor of someone, in memory of someone. You can learn more about, you know, the kinds of activities and support groups we have. And importantly, you'll be on our mailing list, our email list, you know, and so that you'll be always informed about the kinds of activities that are available, the kinds of events that you can support, but also the kinds of activities you can participate in, from a webinar to a chat room to a variety of activities that we offer to not only people in show business, but people who love and artists who are involved in entertainment.
And if people in our community need help during this time, how should they reach out?
Go right to actorsfund.org. You'll see a big heart on the homepage talking about our COVID program. You're one click away from applying for direct financial assistance. You're one click away to finding out the resources that are available to you. For instance, if you go to that resource page and you're a stagehand, right there, the eligibility for stagehands for assistance from the Actors Fund, it's right there. So we've made it very clear. You know, 10 or 11 weeks ago when we started, everything was done by email, application, telephone call. In 24 hours, our remarkable staff converted the whole process to an online activity. Online because we went from, we've provided 8 times more direct financial assistance in the last 11 weeks than we did all of last year. And so that's a big number, but it's also an incredible amount of work processing. We can't write checks the way we were writing checks before. So, you know, everything is done through Chase Quick Pay, right to checking accounts so people get their help, you know, quickly, or Zelle or something like that. So we've been able to adapt all the new technologies in terms of providing financial assistance, all the virtual meetings that we're able to hold. They've all been very good. And I have to say that I think, you know, as, you know, the lead staff person at the Actors Fund, I feel that the level of contact that I have with everyone on the staff and that we have with one another has really been intensified. You know, it's one thing to walk into a room with, you know, we have all staff meetings with, you know, almost 200 people on the phone, which are challenging. They need to be well managed carefully. Fortunately, we have a former stage manager who is now our director of HR and administration, you know, who's really adept at helping us put all that together so that we're productive meetings. But the level of contact and intimacy has been very significant. And I know that the entire staff feel much closer to each other than we've ever felt before, and which is very important. We couldn't survive. And I have to say that we're supporting our staff significantly in terms of all kinds of direction and how to take care of yourselves at home, you know, how to exercise, make sure you drink plenty of water, make sure that you're taking a day off. One of our challenges is that people don't take days off. You know, there's plenty of work and they keep on working, which is admirable, but in the end, is not helpful to anyone. So we're very proud of how the staff is being supported by the organization. And we're very proud of the fact that we could not have survived. We've been able to sustain our staff and pay salaries, keep people employed, and we're hopeful that that's going to continue. We're always worried about tomorrow, always worried about the second, we're worried about the second half of the year in 2021. We know that this is a marathon, and we know that we have to pace ourselves, work hard, be forward thinking. We are redoing our strategic plan. The strategic plan the board adopted 2 years ago is not being thrown out the window, but it's changed dramatically. So next week at our Board of Trustees meeting, we're going to be introducing new facets to our strategic plan and the direction of the organization so that all of our everyone involved in governance of the organization understands. And when I talk about governance of the organization, I have to talk about the 300 other volunteers we have, you know, whether it's the ambassadors of the organization, the artists committee, the Looking Ahead program for young people, the Western Council of the Actors Fund in Los Angeles, the Central Region Council of the Actors Fund in Chicago. We have tremendous amount of support and interest in what we do. And we would not enjoy that support unless we asked for it and unless we walk the walk. And we're dedicated to continuing to walk the walk of a great human service organization.
Well, I know all of your employees are so grateful for your leadership, and the entire community is grateful for your leadership, and everyone in the entertainment industry could not be more grateful for the work that you have done and the work that the Actors Fund continues to do on behalf of everyone. So thank you so much for sharing all this with us. I encourage everybody who's listening to immediately go to actorsfund.org and make a sizable contribution, whatever you're comfortable doing, and support this incredible organization. And thank you so much again for all you're doing, particularly during the difficult time that the world is facing in so many different ways. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you very much, Dory.
Stay
safe.
You too.
Thank you for listening to Deep Dive Broadway, produced by Dory Berenstein, edited by Alan Seals, and special thanks to Bia and Brittany, who are fabulous. You can find me at bpn.fm/deepdivebroadway. My Instagram is dory.berenstein, which is B-E-R-I-N-S-T-E-I-N. Please subscribe and leave lots of fabulous comments, and check out my website at dramaticforces.com.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.